So since I didn't ask him, we won't do that until I find out. So to give you the announcements, if you're wondering where preacher's at this morning, this is the time of year he always takes off. I don't remember if it's his birthday or his anniversary. Anyone in here remember that besides, I don't remember. Charlie, you remember which one it is? Okay, so it must be his anniversary then. But he always takes off this week, so he'd ask Brother Castillo to speak this morning. And then tonight you'll get to hear Brother Zapata. This will be his last service with us, so he'll be speaking tonight. But Brother Nichols will be out of town. So again, always pray for him. You shouldn't quit praying for him anytime. But he's not missing this morning because he's sick. He was missing this morning on purpose. So they do that, like I said, once or twice a year. But pray for Brother and Mrs. Nichols. Also, don't forget to pray for Brother Lowry. He's been having some real issues with his health. Kidneys, liver, and some other issues. Pray for him. For those of you that wonder when our normal services are, here's the normal schedule. Tonight, back in our service for 6 o'clock. Then Wednesday night, 7:30. Thursday night, soul winning at 6:45. Saturday, bus visitation at 9:30. And then soul winning at 10:45. Then back in our places for Sunday school at 9:45. This is spring break for Liberty Christian Academy. I don't usually have to tell the kids. They don't always catch the days that they're in school, but they always know the days that they're out of school. So this is spring break for us. So we'll be out of school. Took off Friday at noon, and they'll be out all this next week. I appreciate all those of you that had a hand in, and that was several teenagers and adults as well that had a hand in the activity yesterday. I didn't get a count yesterday. I know that the original count was supposed to be 40 to 45, but we took some folks out on the farm, and the easiest thing that they did that I thought they might struggle with was pushing a round bale. How many of you know what I mean when I say a round bale of hay? We had some round bales of hay, pulled them out of the corral. Now, we had to find a path, and that's not always easy when you have cows like I do. So I told the folks, I said, I couldn't clear a path ahead of time because the cows could have messed that up because I told them they're not all potty trained. They don't always go where I tell them to go. So I said, we finally found a place to push the round bales, and they did really well. Most round bales weigh between 800 and 1,100 pounds. So they was pushing. We had folks yesterday that was pushing around 800 pounds. So if you have someone that you need pushed around, let me know. I've got some folks that did a really good job yesterday. And so they pushed the round bales. And then they was, now the funnest part, now some of them had never split wood before. And thankfully, we all have, I think everyone that had, I mean, two legs left with two legs. But that's always the worry because splitting wood with an axe is very, very, hey, Brother Lowry, I just mentioned you, so I'm glad you're here. But so again, keep Brother Lowry in prayer. He's still having health issues. But we were splitting wood yesterday, and Kurt was standing next to one of them. I was standing next to one of them. We had two axes going at the same time. Thankfully, the one behind me never put it in the back of my head. I kept worrying. I kept kind of backing up and looking around behind me because when someone's behind you with an axe, you just don't know. I mean, you know. So they split a lot of wood yesterday. Now, some of them split the bark off the wood, but first, I guess they just wanted to clean the log up. So they split the bark first. Really, it came from the fact that they just couldn't hit the middle of the log. But we were being nice and saying, oh, well, good. You got the bark off now. They got the bark off. Now work on the rest of it. But we had ladies and teenagers and men that split wood and did a good job. So if you need some split wood, we got some because they split a bunch of mesquite yesterday. So if you barbecue and you like some mesquite wood, we've got some. And some of it's in little kindling size. Some of it's whether it's just split the log in half. And then the thing that I think they enjoyed the most was riding the four-wheelers. That's the fun part. So they rode the four-wheelers. The kids didn't get a chance to ride the four-wheelers because the adults wouldn't get off of them. So I kept saying, one time I said, can you go find where the other four-wheelers are at? Because they've been gone a long time. And I thought maybe they was lost. They wasn't lost. They just wasn't coming back to let anyone else ride the four-wheeler. So, but we had a good time on the farm yesterday. Brother Bajot's place and my place, we live pretty close together. So they ran back and forth. And again, I don't think this has ever happened before. We made so much food, they couldn't eat it all. Brother Burrito made 40 turkey legs, right? We had 40 turkey legs he smoked. He smoked a brisket. He smoked some chicken stuff. I cooked up 30 block hamburgers. And again, there's nothing like a block hamburger because it comes from the block beef. But we had 30 or 40 hamburgers. We had 60 hot dogs. They did a whole package of sausages, a big box, either one or two boxes of sausages that Brother Bajot buys. And then the ladies brought stuff. Everybody ate. It worries me. When men sit back and start undoing their belt buckle, you know things are getting bad. They were scared if they didn't, that they would shoot that button out and hit somebody somebody in the eye. So we had some of our guys. I said, just make sure before you get up that you buckle that back. We don't need you running around, because I didn't want to have any low riders on the farm yesterday. You might do that in the city, but we don't want you letting those sagging on the farm. So, but we had a good time, and I appreciate all the folks that came. We had a good time, and again, we had no casualties. I think the only thing we had, someone came to me with a scratch, and that came from the house. They came home. They came to the activity with a scratch, and we put a Band-Aid on that. But again, appreciate all those of you that had a part. We had some folks. I know the boys had to sleep well, because we had some kids on Friday. They worked from, we started at noon, and two of them didn't get through till 10:30 that night. So I don't think teenagers often work a 10-hour day, but some of them did, working on the farm. So I know I was tired. I used to have trouble falling asleep. I did not last night. When I woke up this morning, when the alarm went off, I went, what? And I looked, and I thought, I didn't believe it. One, I lost an hour of sleep anyway because of the time change. But then I was so tired last night. When I lay down, I usually lay down. It takes me a while. Last night, I was knocked out. So, but again, thank you for all of you that helped. It was a real blessing. Brother Peugeot said he only had two things he had to pick up, which is not normal either. Usually when you have that many people, they leave trash laying around. He said he picked up, I think, a half of a fork and something else, which is when 45 people are eating and half of them are teenagers, that's a rarity. But they put everything in the trash. Either that or my cows got over there and ate it before Brother Peugeot cleaned up. I don't know which. But again, thank you for all of those of you that had a hand in that and made that possible. Ms. Grisenbeck is here this morning. Wave at us. That's that young lady over there, the one in orange that wasn't wanting to wave. So we've had you praying for her and for Timothy. Timothy's off of quarantine, right? So Timothy, if you forgot to call Timothy, you cannot call him out. Well, I mean, you can call him. He just won't get the answer because he's in basic training. So, again, won't be able to talk to Timothy. But again, Timothy, McKenzie, and Mrs. Grisenbeck, her husband or their dad died about a week and a half, 2 weeks ago. So the funeral is the 27th of March, 11 o'clock here in the auditorium. We'll give you more details when it comes closer. But the viewing will be Friday night, and then the funeral will be here on Saturday at 11. And that is March the 27th at 11 o'clock here in the auditorium. Again, visitors, thank you for coming today. Good to have you. We normally would shake your hand and visit with you, but since COVID, we've been trying not to do that. And now everyone has asked me, do you have the mask mandate as well? I told folks I liked it when the governor told us we didn't have to. If you still want to wear one, knock yourself out. The good news is, for some of us that have ugly faces, the mask helped us because all they could see was our eyes. But now they can see the real us. And so someone the other day saw me at the store and they said, I didn't recognize you. And I went, nah, and I went, yeah. I mean, but the mask makes it hard. But again, if you want to keep wearing a mask, you're welcome to. We probably still will keep the social distancing in the pews for a little while. We still want to protect folks. I know some of our folks have already got their shots. Some aren't taking the shots, and some are on the list to get shots. But again, still be wise about people around you. If there's someone that's trying to run from you because they don't want you getting too close, quit chasing them, okay? That's not very nice. So they're running for a reason. They're trying to get some little distance, and they don't mean for you to keep, you know, getting closer to them. So if you sit next to someone on the pew and they scoot over, don't scoot over and chase them down the pew, okay? We don't want people doing that, so please be wise. But again, thank you for your faithfulness. During this time, I told the kids yesterday, one of the things that we missed when we wasn't having services in here, we still got to hear the preaching, but guess what we missed? We miss the fellowship, and it's a blessing to be around brothers and sisters in Christ and get to spend some time and talk with folks. So, again, hopefully we'll get back to that. Summer's coming up, so it won't be too long. We'll start softball after Sunday night, and we get to fellowship when we do that. Again, be faithful to the services, and don't forget to pray for the preacher, Mrs. Nichols, this week.
All right, let's all stand. We'll sing one of the favorites. It is Well With My Soul. When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say, it is well. Sin, oh, the bliss of this glory. my sin not in part, but the whole is nailed to the cross, and I bear it no more. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, O my soul. Trump shall resound, and the Lord shall descend. Even so, it is well with my soul. It is well with my soul. It is well.
Before we pray this morning, I just want to say thank you for praying for my wife. She had her third surgery last week. Doctor says that she got it all, so we're cautiously optimistic about that. So she's tried two times before, so hopefully the third time is the charm, as they say. But she does have her on bed rest for the next 2 weeks to see how it goes and heals, and Lord willing, after that she'll be able to get up and get around. But she can't put any pressure on her foot right now, so she's kind of tied to the laying down with her foot up. So she's really excited about that. So, but definitely appreciate your prayers, your cards, your texts, and all of that. We really appreciate that very much. So let's go ahead and pray for the offering. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for the opportunity to be here this morning, Lord. And as always, we're just so grateful for all of the blessings that you give to us. And thank you for this opportunity we have to give this morning, and pray that it might help meet the need of our church. In Jesus' name, amen.
He definitely looked behind us, didn't he? He looked beyond our faults. Amen. All right, he lifted me in loving kindness. In loving kindness, Jesus came, my soul in mercy to reclaim. And from the depths of sin and shame, through grace he lifted me. From sinking sand, he lifted me. With tender hand, he lifted me from shades of night to plains of light. Oh, praise his name, he lifted me. His brow was pierced with many a thorn, his hands by cruel nails were torn. When from my guilt and grief forlorn, in love he lifted me. From sinking sand he lifted me, with tender hand he lifted me. From shades of night to plains of light, oh, praise his name, he lifted me. Now on a higher plane I dwell, and with my soul I know 'tis well. Yet how or why, I cannot tell, he should have lifted me. From sinking sand he lifted me, tender hand he lifted me. From shades of night to plains of light, oh, praise his name, he lifted me.
Behold the man, wounded and bruised, crowned with thorns. He was despised, rejected. He was despised and rejected. Behold the man, man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. We hid our faces from him. We hid our faces from him. We did not know that it was for our sins he died, that for us the Son of God was crucified, that in love he bore our sorrow and pain, and in love he willingly suffered. Behold the man, suffering in silence, bearing our shame. We hid our faces from him. We hid our faces from him. We did not know that it was God the Father's plan, born of love, to bring redemption down to man, that in love he gave his only Son, so that we might be forgiven. Behold the man, risen in glory, coming to reign, by the Father exalted, crowned in glory and honor. Behold the man, King of kings and Lord of lords, through all creation. Jesus Christ is Lord.
Amen. Grab your King James Bibles. Brother Castile has been with us for many, many years. Grew up. It just makes me feel old when I see Brother Castile and Suzanne, because when Brother Taylor and I worked in the youth group, they were our teenagers. And we have several folks like that in the church that now they have teenagers, and they even have kids in college. And so It's always a blessing for me to see folks. And again, I told this to someone this last week. One of our kids is at Bible college now, and I said, it is people like you that make us continue on. By the way, we have failures. And by the way, that everybody, whether you're in business or anything else, you're going to have some failures. But the blessings and the successes are what encourage you to continue on. And so if some of you are wondering if you're a blessing to Brother Nichols, if you're a faithful church doing the right thing, I can tell you with a great big yes, it's a big blessing to him and also a blessing to me or anyone else, by the way, that was your Sunday school teacher or your bus worker or someone else that you're still here 10, 15, 20 years later. By the way, there are people that come in from outside. They'll say, I haven't been here in 10 years, and I saw Brother Milliken. He used to drive my bus. Or they'll say, I saw so-and-so. They used to be my Sunday school teacher. That's a blessing to them. Someone did that just last week. They talked to my wife. I didn't get to talk to them. They said, is so-and-so still at the church? Yes. How about so-and-so? Yes. How about so-and-so? Yes. That's a blessing. And by the way, that makes them realize that, again, there are a lot of folks that started. They made a big noise, and then they disappear. Thankfully, Liberty Baptist Church, all these years, still running buses, still getting people saved, and still seeing lives changed, and that's a big blessing. Don't take that for granted. Grab your Bibles, follow along.
Well, what a blessing to be here, to be able to preach this morning, and I'll be looking at the book of 1 John, 1 John in chapter 1. 1 John in chapter 1, and we'll be looking there and having an opportunity to see what the Bible has for us here in the book of 1 John in chapter 1. And I'll be reading a few verses from here in the book of 1 John in chapter 1. As you look at the book of John, and I think I've shared this with many people, I've tried to encourage people, the book of 1 John, in my opinion, is probably one of the best places for a new Christian to begin reading and to really get a little bit of a familiarity with the Bible in the book of 1 John. If you're a new believer, if you've been saved for some time but you have very little knowledge of 1 John, that's a place that I would really encourage you to spend a little bit of time. It's a short book. It's very easy to read at one sitting with the number of chapters that it has, and that it reveals to us some important things about the Lord and the high premium he has placed upon his word and its connection to our relationship with him and the relationship with God's people. You see this here in the book of 1 John that I'll be reading here a few verses right here at the beginning here in the book of 1 John. It says here in the book of 1 John in chapter 1 and starting in verse 1, the Bible tells us that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon and our hands have handled of the word of life, that it makes the connection between the Lord Jesus Christ and his connection to his revealed word, the word of God that we have, and appealing to them concerning his authority, Brother John, in dealing with these issues, is that he had a firsthand account. Is really what he's revealing to them. But he was speaking to people as well, that he said, by in similar manner, many of you have had that same experience, that you know what I'm saying, what I'm talking about, because you have had firsthand experience with these ideas, with these wonderful truths, with the Lord Jesus Christ himself. The Bible says in verse 2, for the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness and show unto you that eternal life, which was with the Father and was manifested unto us. That the Bible shows us here in verse 2 as well, that it's giving us an important insight into the character and nature of God in his Trinity. Now, it does not talk about specifically here the Holy Spirit, but it talks about the Lord Jesus Christ as being a person, that it talks about in verse 2, that he speaks about that life which was with the Father, that it was not the Father, but it was with the Father, that it shows to us that the Lord Jesus Christ is a person. Amen. That he was a person before he was revealed in the person of Jesus, that he was with the Father, the Bible tells us here. And that really strikes at the heart of a false doctrine that it seems like I've been acquainted with, seems more and more that I'm dealing with in witnessing the idea that there is one God that is manifested in one person, God the Father, and somehow that the Spirit it comes out from the Father and Jesus comes out from the Father. That is what was years ago, that was many years ago called, now they won't call it themselves, but a modalist or a Sabellian, that they deny the Trinity. And it's sad that we're seeing these false doctrines arise, but it's nothing new that he was dealing with it even here, trying to strike at the heart of it here in the book of John in chapter 1 and verse 2, which is not the message here this morning, but he goes on to deliver that unto us. And then he says this in verse 3, and this is where the message is going to be mainly here in verse 3. It says, that which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father, and watch this, and with His Son, Jesus Christ. So the Bible tells us that relationship can continue with the Father and with the Son. And He tells us that these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. And we're going to speak about that here for just a few minutes, what the Bible talks about, the importance of fellowship with God. Yes, the Bible tells us that, and it's very important, but it also describes here in the book of 1 John in chapter 1 and verse 3, the importance and the value of our fellowship with one another. Let's pray. Lord, we do thank you for today. We thank you for the opportunity it is to be here. Lord, I ask that if there is anyone here this morning that does not know you as Savior, that, Lord, this would be the day of salvation for them, that there can be no true fellowship with God's people. There can be no fellowship with you, Lord, unless a person is, first of all, born again, unless they've been born into the family of God, and that, Lord, you would deal with hearts this morning. Oh, Lord, I ask that you would please help us, we ask. In your precious name we look to you. Amen. The book of 1 John, you know, I appreciate the book of 1 John and that it gives to us these ideas that are so important. The ideas of, as I was mentioning, the revelation of God and how He's chosen to reveal Himself, and the greatest revelation and that He's given to us is the revelation of Him through His Word. We see this in the book of 1 John in chapter 5. You can probably turn over just a couple of pages there in your Bible to the book of 1 John in chapter 5. An important verse of Scripture that we use in dealing with someone, especially concerning the security of the believer and the importance of God's Word in a person being secure in their salvation, that Brother John tells to us in the book of 1 John and chapter 5, and starting in verse 10, he says, "He that believeth on the Son of God hath a witness in himself. He that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he believeth not," watch this, "the record that God gave of His Son. And this is the record that God hath given to us eternal life, and His life is in His Son." The content of the message of that revelation, verse 12, "Then he that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life." The source of the revelation, verse 13, "These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God." What a wonderful blessing that God gives to us, His Word, that He tells us this record of who the person and nature of the Lord Jesus Christ and His work is, has been revealed through His Word. That, my friend, what I need to know about God, what I need to know about salvation and the importance of these ideas, that I can find them within the revelation that God has given to us in His Word. Amen. That I do that, that it is not necessary that I am outside of those, and man wants to seek to look out for an experience, that man is looking for, in our day especially many times, nature, that they elevate nature above the revealed Word of God. But I am telling you here this morning, I stand record to say this, what we need to know about God, the primary place and source of the content of that message, is the very Word of God. For the English speaking people, it is the King James Bible, that we can find what is needed for us for salvation, for eternity, and to prepare ourselves for that long day. Amen. But it's revealed in His Word. It shows us the revelation, and it shows us the connection between the revelation of God and our relationship with Him and with others. We see this in verse 3. The Bible tells us that which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. A few ideas here that I'll be getting into. The Bible tells us concerning this fellowship with God and a fellowship with God's people. The Bible tells us, let me say first of all, that is to be highly valued. Highly valued. You know, there is many times that I believe that there was a low estimation upon the importance of having a fellowship, having being a part of a community that includes God and His people. Now, the place of the fellowship that I believe that God has instituted for us in this present day that we live in, the place that is most clearly identifiable is the local church. Well, we use that many times here that we've even mentioned it here this morning. Brother Block talked about his desire, his appreciation for what we describe regularly as fellowshipping. Amen. You know, I like that word. I like that I was exposed to that word growing up. That's a word that's not used very, very much outside of the context of a local church among God's people. You know, I'm a part unless you're in some type of academic society, but we don't use that word too often. It is something that has a specific meaning and it has appreciation, generally speaking, for God's people and especially those that are part of a local church that we enjoy fellowship. Amen. Well, at least I hope you do. Amen. Hope you enjoy those things, those times of fellowship. That I'm glad that I grew up at an old-time independent fundamental Bible-believing church where we put a high value upon that outgrowth, upon that manifestation of what is a spiritual reality that we are a part of a community. Being a part of that community, there are many times that we will get together for purposes like what we did yesterday where we got together, people that have a shared interest, that have a shared identity, and that have a shared indwelling. This thing about fellowship where we get together to eat, to talk, to do things, and because we may not have ties as far as family, we may not be family, but we have strong ties because we are in a community of believers, that we have a fellowship that we are a part of with one another because of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, concerning that, though, the Bible tells us that we ought to put a very high value upon this thing of fellowship. First of all, we ought to put a high value upon a fellowship that we enjoy with the Lord. With the Lord. You know, we ought to put a high value upon it. God puts a high value upon it. We see here in the book of 1 John in chapter 1 that He speaks in a way that shows us that it is something to be valued. Here in verse 3, the Bible says, that which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. The Bible shows us in the book of John in chapter 1 and verse 3 that this thing of fellowship, being a part of that community of believers and enjoying that community of believers with the Father, is something that is not common, that it is uncommon. It is not something that we enjoy simply by virtue of existing. Are you hearing me? Man likes to speak about and in his carnality, in being blinded to the spiritual realities that God has laid out, that we somehow are a part of the brotherhood of man and the fatherhood of God. But Jesus struck right at that in the book of Matthew and other places, that if a person does not know the Lord Jesus Christ, if a person has not confessed Jesus as Christ and received Him as their Savior, that person is not a part of the family of God, and that person is not able to call God their Father. It only comes, we are born into God's family, according to the book of John in chapter 3, when we receive the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior. See, that this thing about fellowship, it is something that is uncommon. Because it is uncommon, because it is rare, it is something that is to be valued. Amen. That I do not enjoy this community that I have as being a part of God's people, born into God's family, because I simply exist, but because there was a great price that was paid, that I was able to enter into that community. There was a great price that was paid, that I am able to be numbered with God's people. It was the precious blood of Christ, Peter reveals unto us. But not only is it uncommon, my friend, not only is it of value because it is that, but because there is a life exchange that is a part of that. He talks about that here in the book of John in chapter 1 and in verse 3. He says, that which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. Because he points out that there are barriers to this fellowship. Verse 5, he says, this then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light and him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. You see that, my friend? My friend, a person can say that they are in fellowship with God, but when that person is walking contrary to the revealed word of God, to what God has given to us in his word, my friend, that person is living a lie. That person is, the Bible says, not walking in fellowship with him, and by extension, they are not enjoying the fellowship that they could have with God's people. Amen? You hearing me so far? Because it is to be value. But let me say, secondly, concerning this, that there is a vision for fellowship, that we truly can have the possibility of fellowship. Even as highly valued as it is, even as important as it is something that each and every one of us can enjoy. Amen. Are you hearing me? Because Jesus Christ paid the price. Jesus Christ has given us the opportunity to have the supernatural power, that resurrection power, which not only changes us from death unto life, that we can be saved, but it can give us the victory in our daily lives, that we can enjoy fellowship with one another because we have some shared things. There's a vision for it, that there is a possibility that we can truly have fellowship with the Father and with one another. You know, I've found throughout my life that is real, that I can have people that I may not in any other context enjoy their company. But because we have a shared interest, a shared identity, and a shared indwelling, that there is a connection that God has given me with them and them with me, because we have that shared interest, because we have that shared identity, and because we have that shared indwelling, that because they enjoy soul winning, I enjoy soul winning, you know what? There's a connection there. Because they enjoy seeing people getting saved. I enjoy seeing people getting saved. There's a connection there. Because they like preaching, I like preaching, we can get along. Amen. That there's a connection there. Because they like church and love church and I love church, there's something there. Because they enjoy God working in people's lives, people getting the victory and having some type of influence in that person seeing the victory in their life, whether it be through running buses, having Sunday school, encouraging people in the things of the Lord. Because we both have that shared interest in those things, that there is a connection there. And yea, I have found that I have connections with people much greater, much deeper, much stronger than I have to my family kinfolk. Amen. You know, there are many times, you know, I've had to avoid, I've had to find myself that I just couldn't be around people that have the same name as me, that have the same grandparents or we have the same type of family connection, but I just can't be around them. Why? Because it is a danger to my fellowship with God, and it is a danger to my fellowship with God's people because of things they're involved in. I'm not going to be around with a bunch of folks that want to carry on about the things of the world, getting drunk or even having alcohol, and just all those things that the world lusts after, that the world wants. I find myself that I've got to separate myself for those things. Why? Because I value the fellowship with God's people and with God. Amen. I want to have that fellowship. I've got to be willing to do those things, but there is a real vision that is available to me because of that. If I am willing to do that, God says that I have that possibility. There is a reality that I can joy in Him. The Bible tells us that there are problems with fellowship, that fellowship will be broken if I do not walk according to what God has given me, the resources, the power to overcome these things. And then let me show you this, the victory or the plan to fellowship. We see this in verse 7. He says, but if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanseth us from all sin. Let me say this, there is real victory that is available to us to be able to enjoy fellowship with the Father, to enjoy fellowship with one another, the Bible says. Here in verse 7, if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have that fellowship. Now, my friend, true fellowship is not based upon having a shared material interest. Now, though I'm not against those things, I enjoy good barbecue. We enjoyed that yesterday. But if that's the highest form of interest that we have, my friend, that's a very weak interest. Amen. And you know, the reality is there are people in this world that really, that's the highest bond that they have with others, their love of barbecue or things like that, because there's no spiritual type of connection there. There's some people, they're connected by cars. And you know what? I like a nice vehicle. I really do. I especially like vans because you can carry people in them to go soul winning. Amen. That's why I like having a Suburban. You got to get people in to get them somewhere to go soul winning, to go witnessing. But you see, some people, all their life is wrapped up in vehicles. It really is a love of vehicles. I'm not just saying one vehicle, theirs. I'm just talking just vehicles in general. That's their life, and that's what they enjoy. And you know, that honestly, that's a really weak bond. Amen. Some people are connected through their work. And I'll tell you this, because our work, our careers, whatever we're involved in, really takes up such a large amount of our life that we have. Many times those connections may, we think, run very deep. But even at that, if you start, let's say when you're 20 and you go up until, let's say on the good side, you go up until you're 80. Seems like a lot of folks are getting closer. That's only 60 years, my friend. We're talking about the people that I have fellowship with, that I enjoy a relationship with them because of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm looking at eternity with them. Are you hearing me? That's why that's important to me. The idea of this idea that I have fellowship with one another, that's why it is so very important with me that even at this time, it may seem like almost part-time because of the time that I'm able to spend with them in relation to all that goes on in this world may seem very little, but my friend, it is something that consumes me, consumes my thoughts, my life, my sacrifices, because this is what I'm doing for all we're going to be doing for eternity. There's a few people that I'm going to be with. And that's why it's very important that we understand that we ought to have put a high value on it so that we can get the victory as well. I'm talking about fellowship with the Father and fellowship with one another. I'm going to say just a few things here and then I'll be done this morning. Let me say first of all concerning this, the blessing of true fellowship that we have. Let me say first of all is because we have a shared interest. A shared interest. What are some of the shared interests that we have? Let me say if we truly have the right type of fellowship, if we have truly have the right type of bond, that we are going to have a love of the truth. A love of the truth. Look here with me to the book of 2 Thessalonians in chapter 2. 2 Thessalonians in chapter 2, and this is an important passage of Scripture. The Bible here speaking of in the book of 2 Thessalonians in chapter 2, it's talking about a time in the future when what the Bible tells us here in verse 8, when the wicked will be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power and lying at wonders. So it talks about here, and even part of verse 10, it's talking about a future time and the revealing of the Antichrist. But then there's an important part right here in verse 10 that I want us to see. It says, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth that they might be saved. And my friend, one of the characteristics that the Bible shows us according to 2 Thessalonians in chapter 2 and verse 10, what something that contrasts the people of this world with the people of God, the people of this world do not have a love of the truth. But when you are a child of God, when you are in that fellowship of believers that has trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior, when you are where you ought to be, you will have a love of the truth. Amen. What a blessing. And you know what? That manifests itself in many different ways. You know what? That'll manifest it in a love of those things that communicate truth. I'm talking about good singing. Amen. I love good church singing. I'm glad that I grew up being exposed to good church singing. You know, there are songs that I have sung multitudes of times. I guarantee you that I have probably sung part of it or all of it at least 1,000 or more times. I'm talking about songs like Amazing Grace. And I still love Amazing Grace. I'm telling you, if I am right with the Lord, if I am where I ought to be spiritually, it is not a drag, it is not a drudgery to sing that song, but I enjoy it just as now today, yea, more than I ever enjoyed it. Amen. And I'll tell you, I enjoy Amazing Grace. Yea, I'll go one forward with you. I even enjoy the songs that we used to sing when we were little kids. It's not dumb. It's not boring. I enjoy it. And I'm not going to say that it's high art or anything like that. But I'll tell you, I still appreciate Jesus loves me, this I know. And I'll tell you, if some kids are singing it, I'm happy to sing it with them. Amen. And I'll tell you, there is something about good music that communicates truth that I appreciate. It does not have to be fancy. You do not have to shine it all up and be polished for me to enjoy it. I'll enjoy it when it still communicates good truth. You know what? One of my favorite people to hear, I really enjoy his preaching, but I'm not really sure, to be honest with you, if I enjoy his preaching more or his singing, is Lester Roloff. Now, Lester Roloff, look, I'm just going to be straight with you, and I'm not ashamed to tell it to him if I had him here with him. He really wasn't a great polished singer. He really wasn't a great polished singer. But there was something about it when you would hear him coming on the radio, or I had tapes and I would wear those things out. Once in the stillness of the late midnight hour, I felt the presence of the Lord saving power. And then you hear those ladies there joining in to compliment him or him singing. There was something about just hearing that, because it communicates good truth. And I'll tell you, I enjoy people singing songs. You bring those songs to me, if they communicate good truth, I'm having a good time. Amen. Let me say, not only good singing, but I enjoy good preaching. And as a child of God, one thing you better check yourself and you better figure it out is this thing: you better love preaching. Good Bible preaching. If preaching is a bore to you, if you can't stand preaching, if you tolerate preaching to do some other things that you enjoy more, there's a little bit of a problem there. Because God has chosen through the foolishness of preaching to save them. That's what the Bible shows us. That the premium on good old-fashioned preaching. And I don't have to have someone jumping up and hollering for it to be good preaching to me. When it delivers good truth, my friend, I'm happy. As long as they don't do it as a beta male. I don't want any sissified folks to that. And I don't want preaching from a female either. Yeah. Amen. Yeah. I want to hear preaching from a man of God that knows the scriptures, that has prepared himself before God, spent some time alone doing, as Brother Joe Boyd used to say, that they got to do your night work, son. Yeah. That they've done their night work, that they spent some time with God, that they deliver the truths of the word of God to God's people to be a help unto them. I'm telling you, we've got a shared interest in a love of the truth. Two of the things that I found that helped me make a self-examination time and time again of where I was spiritually, that when I walk into church and if the singing is a bore to me, if it's a drag, I ask, Lord, help me that I'm going to enjoy this stuff once again. If I find preaching as a bore and a drudgery because it does not have the style that I might enjoy carnally, and I'm not excited about the truth of the preaching, I know there's a problem. Lord, help me to get right. But I'm telling you, we've got some shared interests. We got a lot of shared interests, you know, about seeing people saved, seeing God move in mighty ways, seeing God's people being blessed, seeing just the Lord do wonderful things. We've got some shared interests, and my friend, and it ought to be that way. We ought to have a love of the truth. We ought to have a love of righteousness. The Bible tells us in the book of Hebrews in chapter 1 and verse 9, describing the Lord Jesus Christ, that he was one who had put a high premium on righteousness. righteousness. And righteousness, not only positionally, that's important in and of itself, positional righteousness, and that someone's saved, but a practical righteousness, and that righteousness is being done. That we ought to be excited when good and right is being promoted and being practiced, and it ought to grieve us when it is being mocked, when it is not being exercised, and when it is being discouraged. Amen. Righteousness. Let me say thirdly, and this list is not exhaustive, but it is just some things that I have down here, that we have a shared interest in the brethren. In the brethren. Titus chapter 1 and verse 8 in particular. I've got several verses, but Titus chapter 1 and verse 8 tells us something. You can look here with me, but the important part, that one way that I would regularly check myself and look at make a self-examination. But in Titus in chapter 1, the Bible tells us this. Starting here in verse 5, he says, "For this cause left I thee in Crete, that thou shouldest set in order the things that are wanting, and ordain elders in every city as I had appointed thee." Now he's talking about the specific context that is given from Paul to Titus is the idea of leadership in a church. All right, are you with me so far? But it's an extension of not only the leadership in his church, specifically a pastor, but my friend, let me tell you this. If God wants a pastor to be this way, he wants his people in general to be this way. Amen? Amen? That's right. And he says this concerning what these type of leadership ought to be. He says in verse 6, I didn't read 6 yet. He said, "If any be blameless, the husband of one wife, having faithful children, not accused of riot or unruly, for a bishop must be blameless as the steward of God, not self-willed, not soon angry, not given to wine, no striker, not given to filthy lucre, but a lover of hospitality, a lover," watch this, "of good men." You see that right there? You know, the Bible tells, and this is something that was working on me, you know, this idea, what is it the type of people that you're drawn to most? Are you hearing me? You know, do you find much more affinity with, much more enjoyment around people that, my friend, they have nothing to do with God whatsoever, but you build them up and you find that you would love to spend time with them? Or do you find those people that love God, that as the Bible describes here, the Bible wording is specifically is good men, or do you find yourself drawn to those type of people? That tells a lot about you, amen. If you can't, and he goes on later in the book of 1 John to describe, how can you say you love God whom you have not seen, but you're not willing to love God's people whom you can see? He says it doesn't work that way. It just doesn't work that way. Amen? But he said you ought to be a lover of good men, that God wants his people to be those who love those who are holding the banner of righteousness, those that are taking a stand for the things of God, those that are seeing victory in their life. Those are the people that we ought to have a shared interest with, and not only being around, but promoting and doing everything that we can to see their continued success. Amen. Right. That we ought to do these things. Let me say secondly, not only a shared interest, but a shared identity. A shared identity. The Bible talks about in the book of Hebrews in chapter 2 and in verse 11. You feel free to turn there. I'm not going to read all that passage like I have some of these others. But the Bible describes in the book of Hebrews in chapter 2 and verse 11, it describes one of the ways in that the Lord has a relationship with his people, in that he is not ashamed to call them brethren. You see that? If you look in your Bible, you see in the book of Hebrews in chapter 2 and verse 11. And my friend, let me tell you this. We as God's people, there are many times we do that are potential source of making God ashamed. Yeah. Amen? Isn't it like that? But God says he is. God says in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ that he is not afraid to identify with us. Are you seeing that? I'll tell you, that may not mean much to you, but that gets me a little bit excited. That because I know a little bit, I don't know myself exactly like God knows me. He knows me a lot deeper. But the little bit about myself I do know, that because God can see everything about me, that I can be potentially very shameful. Amen. But yet God, in his love, in his mercy, in his grace, that he is still willing to identify himself with me. He's still willing to identify with you. We have a shared identity in the Lord Jesus Christ. That there are times when we, frankly, we could make God ashamed, but he's not still ashamed to, and we may be ashamed, but he's not ashamed to call us brethren. That he's still willing to identify himself with us, although there is everything about us that does not deserve to be identified with him, but he still does. But what a blessing. What a blessed blessing he does that for us. Not ashamed to call them brethren. And the Bible tells us in Hebrews in chapter 11 and verse 16 that also that he's not ashamed to be identified with them as their God. What a blessing. That he doesn't forsake us. You know, one of the great blessings of salvation is not only that salvation is possible for each and every one of us, that we can be saved, but that we are forever saved. That we are secure in him. That he's not ashamed to call us his God. That even though there is everything that we do sometimes, and whether it be our thought life, whether it be what we do outwardly, what we say, how we behave ourselves, that if we have trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior, that he is still willing to identify with us and be called our God. You know, there's sometimes in my life, I know if I was God, I may say, you know what? I don't know him. You ever been there? You ever even joke about that? Oh, no, I do not know him. Okay? And, you know, and even sometimes we as God's people do a Peter on God and say, I know not the man. That type of thing. Oh, you don't believe me here? And then you put some authentication behind it like Peter did in cursing. But you see, God's not ashamed to be called our God. Even regardless of who we are, what we've done, if we have trusted him, he wants to maintain that relationship with us and maintain a strong fellowship with us because we have a shared identity. And let me say lastly, and then I'll be done this morning, we have a shared indwelling, a shared indwelling. Look here with me to the book of Ephesians. In Ephesians in chapter 3, and starting in verse 11, the Bible says, according to the eternal purpose which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence by the faith of him. Wherefore I desire that ye faint not at my tribulations for you, which is your glory. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. That he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by his spirit in the inner man. Now watch this, verse 17, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in love may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now, especially verse 17, though, that he's talking about that those that know the Lord Jesus Christ, that we have the indwelling. Yeah. Right here, but he wants us to live in the reality of it, is what he's talking about in verse 17. You know, we have a shared indwelling, that if you know the Lord Jesus Christ the Savior, that Jesus became a part of your life and you a part of him. Amen. That we became a part of that life of God, that he has given us of his life. We see this in the book of Colossians. You can turn over just a few pages to get to Colossians, probably to Colossians in chapter 1. And the Bible tells this in Colossians in chapter 1 of verse 25. He says, whereof I am made a minister according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you to fulfill the word of God. That Paul's talking about the duty that he had to deliver the teachings of the Lord, the truth of the Lord. Verse 26, even the mystery which hath been hid from ages and from generations, but now was made manifest to his saints. What is this thing that was a mystery, but now has been revealed, and that you want everyone to know about, Lord, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. That is what we have. We have a shared indwelling. That, you know what, we don't have something shallow like we like cars, or we like rebuilding cars, or we love barbecuing, or we love sports, or we share the same team. Oh, no, nothing shallow like that. No, he says we have something that is eternal, an indwelling of the Spirit of God, that one day we will spend all eternity involved in the shared interest, not that we have, but the interest that the Lord Jesus Christ has appointed for us. And that is something that I don't think it's going to take a whole lot of convincing, but to be praising Him and allowing Him to reveal the truth of the purposes that He had for the things that we went through in this life. You see, my friend, there's some things I don't understand why God has allowed them to happen. But my friend, one day I will. There are some things that I wish I knew the answers to on this side of heaven, but the reality is I might not know all the answers to those things, but my friend, I'm going to have all eternity for them to be revealed unto me. And my friend, I'm confident that when I hear the revealing of those things, though they might bother me a little bit here on this side of heaven, when I get on the other side and I reveal what God was doing, it's all going to make sense and be clear. Amen. Now, you know what? The carnal mind is the one that questions God and that wants to say God why, not for understanding, but to accuse Him. But my friend, it's the spiritual mind that says, Lord, I'd like to know why, but if not, I'm satisfied that I'm going to learn one day. And when I learn one day, I have the confidence that it was all a part of the beautiful outworking of what you did. See, because I believe in a God who works all things according to our good, that He might be glorified. I believe in a God that allows all things to happen that He might be glorified and the maximum number of people will be saved. I believe in a God who knows much more than I ever will know, and that one day He's going to reveal those things to me, and I have the confidence I am going to then thank Him truly for what He did. My friend, because we've got a shared indwelling. Now, if you're here today and you do not know the Lord Jesus Christ the Savior, my friend, you cannot with confidence talk about that shared indwelling. You cannot truly talk about that shared interest. You cannot talk about that shared things that we enjoy here. But my friend, if you are born into the family of God, if you would make this the day of salvation for you and trust the Lord, that you can enter into that fellowship also. And my friend, my prayer, as well as the prayers of most of God's people, I'm sure, if not all of God's people here, is that you would get saved. And if you are saved, and you find yourself, you made a little bit of self-examination just during this message, that you don't have the right idea about these shared interests that we ought to have. Today might be a good day to get right. Amen? But if you're here and you're not saved, that's what I really care about. If you're here today, you do not know the Lord Jesus Christ, my prayer is that you would get saved today. Let today be the day of salvation for you. In just a few moments, we're going to have a song of invitation, just like we always do. And I'll tell you, as we have that song of invitation, do not let this invitation be something that you're going to try and get through and be able to get out of here. Allow this invitation to be a time that, as the God that was already searching your heart, that you will allow Him to do that spiritual work that He wants to do in your heart and life this morning. Don't leave here without it getting done. Let God have His way with you. As we sing, Lord, we do thank You for today. We ask that You would please help us, that You would truly work in the lives, Lord, first of all, Lord, of anyone here that does not know You as Savior, that, Lord, that You would work in their heart, that they would not leave this place without getting this matter of salvation settled.